Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code. A lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
I'm Tracy from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship? Then check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks. Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business. You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hello and welcome to Casual Friday. I'm Holly Fry.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson.
You heard us say it on this week's episode, but we're all recording from home, so Casual Friday really feels much more casual.
Extra casual. I mean, I told Holly this story earlier. I have a whole routine because I've been working from home for a really long time. And I have a whole routine of things that I need to do to make sure that I stay productive in this environment where I am by myself. And yesterday when we were testing our all remote setup, number one, we were all at home, all isolating ourselves and practicing our social distancing. It was also my first day back in the office from a vacation, which was an adventure. And I was like, I'm not even disguising the fact that I have obvious bedhead in this video. This is how it is today.
Well, for what it's worth, I'm sitting here in porg pajamas. Everybody's casual sometimes. These are strange times we live in. And we kind of ended up doing shows this week that kind of fit in with the strange times we're living in. I specifically chose mine because of it, as I mentioned at the top of that show, which is about Max von Pettenkofer and his work as an anti-contagionist, thinking that people could not just transmit disease from one another or through like a water source or whatnot. He thought a whole lot of other stuff had to happen. That is a fascinating and strange and sort of marvelous story because he still led to a lot of really important developments in public health and hygiene. But what really got Tracy was that he drank bouillon that he had mixed cholera into.
Yeah.
The microbe that causes cholera, I should say. Which is funny because for some reason that didn't gross me out so much.
It grossed me out a lot.
I think it's really foolish. And one of the things that I wanted to mention in this chat that I didn't talk about in the episode because it's largely hearsay and supposition is that there are people, biographers, or even scientists that have studied his work that actually think that was something of a death wish situation.
Yeah.
Because he had lost his wife just a couple years before that, he was kind of falling into a dark place in terms of his psyche, that he kind of expected that he might die. Because at that point, remember, Hoke had kind of proven the connection between this microbe and cholera. So it is, and ultimately, because he did take his own life. Like, he clearly was in a space where those kinds of thoughts were happening, but we don't know for sure.
Yeah.
It's such risky behavior.
Yeah. I think the reason that it grossed me out as much as it did was that he is not the only person to have done a similar kind of experiment. Like, one of the ways that people tried to connect H. pylori with having ulcers was consuming it. And some of those self-experiments have been way grosser. And it's like my head just sort of became this tangle of gross experiments while I was eating. And I was like, this is not pleasant.
Yeah, your brain went down the chain of ick.
It real did.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, but then, of course, we owe so much to him in terms of just, like, how cities are built, particularly European cities, a lot of them that had significant overhauls in infrastructure, or like the development of a really serious infrastructure in reaction to cholera outbreak. A lot of the work that they did was based on recommendations that he made about how to build a cleaner, more sanitary city, which is pretty fantastic and interesting.
Yeah. And I mean, it's so weird, because I guess it's not really weird. Like, he was on the wrong track in some ways, but at the same time, a lot of the things that he was saying, had to be present in order for the disease to be transmitted. Like, those are still things that are really important to have. It's still really important to have clean water and good sanitation and, like, all of that. So even though those were not required factors for a person to be sick, they're still really important.
Yeah. Yeah, he was not like, because if your water is dirty, it could be carrying microbes. He was just like, oh, if you're healthy, you're never going to get them anyway. And if your city is healthy, it's never going to promote the fermentation of these diseases. So I will say this, in talking, and we'll transition to your episode that you researched this week with it. When you read the listener mail about the urine tasting, I think I would rather drink cholera.
Okay.
But that's just me. Everybody's got their own weights and measures on these matters.
Yeah. Yeah. So so the episode on the development of the poison control system in the U.S. Is not something that was planned in any kind of conjunction with, like, the current public health and pandemic situation that we are in. It was completely finished and emailed to Holly before I went on vacation, at which point the situation here in the U.S. was dramatically different. So it was just a total coincidence, number one, that we wound up with kind of a public health medical history week, and then number two, that it, like, it is coming out at this point when it is. I didn't realize until getting into the research that there being a one centralized number for people to call is a pretty new thing.
Yeah.
Because I was born in 1975, and I know for certain that my mother had to call poison control on me at least twice. And in my head, that was the same number that anyone could call. I think because, like, I think the way I got this in my head was that we lived, as I've said before, in a pretty rural area. We were not served by 911. So when you saw these, like, public service announcements about calling 911 in an emergency, there was no 911 where we were, but the poison control number that we were served by was the same as it was for people in the city who did have 911 coverage, which is the whole weird thing, like a weird conclusion that my brain drew from that whole experience.
Yeah. When I read your outline initially, the story about how chewable children's aspirin was a real problem resonated very personally, because someone, me, may have eaten a whole bottle's worth as a kid.
Ooh.
Well, here's what happened. So I think I had, like, a headache or a fever or something. And I have siblings that are a pretty fair margin older than me. And so one of my siblings had opened the bottle to give me the appropriate dose. And when they did, the bottle, I think the bottle cracked or something happened where they couldn't close it again. And so they dumped the pills into a little dish that was on the kitchen counter thinking I will put these somewhere safe later. And then they got left on the kitchen counter. And I was like, these are delicious.
Oh, yeah.
But that was after the shift had been made where the amount that were sold in any one bottle was small enough.
Right.
That a healthy and robust child like myself was fine.
Yeah.
I just had no aches and pains. I probably felt bulletproof and could have run through the neighborhood, like crashing into things and be like, I'm fine. And kept going.
Yeah. I don't recall personally any of the times that my mom had to call poison control. So it's like I heard them told to me by my mom. And one was I had found fingernail polish and painted my face with it.
Nice.
And she wasn't sure if any of it had gotten into my mouth. I ate Easter grass out of my Easter basket.
Well, now they make edible grass just for children like you.
And that, like, that was non-toxic. And then I don't think she called poison control this time. I think she called the pediatrician. When I was still very young and did not really understand the difference between real and make-believe, I told her I had swallowed a pin off the ironing board. She called, I think, my pediatrician and not poison control. So anyway.
So you were a liar as a child is what you're telling me.
That, I did become a liar a little later when I did know what the difference between truth and falsehood was. This was more like I didn't quite get the grasp between things I imagined and things that were real quite yet. I had some other thing, some other point that I wanted to make about poison control that I forgot. I think it was mostly related to the whole advent of safety packaging for all of these things and how, like, simultaneously so many of these packaging types have made it much safer to have these kinds of substances in homes where there are also small children or pets or whatever. But then the counterbalance to all of that is that a lot of times it makes it hard for people to get into their own medications if they are disabled or just getting older and not quite able to manipulate things as well. And like that had led to this whole trying to get people accessible packaging while also making sure that's not going to lead to poisoning down the road. It's a whole tangle.
Yeah, I will say, to my mind, one of the greatest blessings of modern pharmacies are the caps that can either be childproof or regular people.
That's fancy.
Where they flip one way or the other. I just got a prescription for an anti-inflammatory that has, like, it screws on normally and it's easy peasy. For if they literally said, are there any children in your household? And I said, nope. And they said, do you want the easy side of the cap to be screwed on? And I said, yep. And so, but you could flip it the other way and it does that locking push down to open mechanism. But cool. The other way, it's super simple and just a quick twist.
That's very cool.
It's such a simple yet brilliant invention.
Mm-hmm.
Praise whoever came up with it.
Yeah. So that's our episodes for this week. We hope everyone is taking care of themselves. I know that not all of our listeners are in the United States, and the United States is not the only place that is having widespread pandemic precautions happening right now. So regardless of where you are, I hope that you are able to keep yourself well and are spending your isolation time as pleasantly as is possible for you. I know we are still kind of working things out here. It is a whole new thing for all of us. And you can write to us and you can write us an email if you would like. HistoryPodcast@iHeartRadio.com, and we will see you again soon. Stuff You Missed in History Class is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway. The Great American Race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR, the Motor Racing Network. Work.